In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our sermon text, our epistle, Acts, the second chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, is there something missing from the church today? I mean, we hear the readings in Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, the sending of the Holy Spirit. We see the violent winds. We see the fiery tongues. We see the speaking in languages never learned before. The bold preaching by former cowards and the conversion of over 3,000 people in one day. And we wonder, is there something missing from the church today? It sure can seem that way to us sometimes. Maybe you might think to yourself, what seems to be lacking here is present at some other churches. Maybe the ones your friends or family go, they maybe have more moving or energetic or exciting worship. Their technology is up to date and the people are excited about what's going on. And after all, isn't that what our culture is looking for? I mean, if nothing demands your immediate attention, if nothing keeps you from scrolling down the web page at something else, or nothing keeps you from changing the channel on your remote, then no one will hang around long enough to hear what you are selling. But in the church, that desire to frantically pursue whatever will take hold of and captivate people's attention shows a lack of faith and trust in the one true God who calls sinners to repentance and faith by his holy word and by that alone. How presumptuous, how arrogant we are sometimes to think that we need to add something to God's word to attract people, to make them come or to make them stay. Do we really think we can do better than the Holy Spirit? Do we think that somehow we can make the divine service or my sermons more exciting, and that by doing that, people who otherwise wouldn't hear will come and they will flock and they will listen and they will believe? Or that forgiveness of sins and eternal life isn't cutting it somehow? That Jesus and Jesus alone isn't enough? As if the problem were with his word and the words that you speak and sing that are straight from his word on any given Sunday, and that the problem somehow isn't with our entertainment-driven, 7-second attention span culture coupled with our own idolatry. Repent, for your desire to make God look better and more attractive. Repent for your lack of faith in the word of Christ. Dear brothers, dear sisters in Christ, repent. It is easy to put ourselves in the place of God, to trust our own thoughts, our own desires, our own wants, trying to do what only Christ says that he can do by his word and his alone. That has caused people to believe and faith to cling to him. See, when the apostles began to speak in languages, of all people gathered there in the Feast of Weeks, when the rushing wind comes, when the violent fires of tongues appear on their heads, these things happen. And what do people hear and see? You know what all the pyrotechnics gets them? The best that man can do is this. These people are drunk. As if somehow alcohol explains learning a language in less than 30 seconds and speaking it clearly. It's not even a good explanation. No, Peter says all these happen for one reason. You killed Jesus. And of that we are all witnesses, and God raised him up from the dead. This occurred so that we might preach to you. And preaching you might hear, and hearing you might believe, and believing you might have life in his name. The gospel of Jesus, it is indiscriminate. It is for all people. And he scatters that seed among everyone, far and wide, to reap a harvest, yet unseen, but growing and bearing fruit. Guys, this harvest, it does not look like the wonderful, neat little lines on 11 and 18. It doesn't look like discs have been through, insecticide and fertilized and planted in neat little rows for you to look down and marvel. No, the gospel is different. It is more scattered. than our watched and tested and guarded fields. The Spirit is like rushing wind. It blows wherever he wishes, creating faith and trust in the promises of God. John says the wind blows where it is and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is of everyone who is born of the Spirit. For through these words and sacraments, though as instruments, the Holy Spirit creates faith in whom he pleases and where he pleases, through the preaching of the gospel. So when the Spirit brings dead people to life, there he gives new birth through baptism. And then these people, you and me, are called into the one holy Christian and apostolic church, the everlasting body of Christ. We are brought from death to life. And you are made new, washed and clean in the blood of Jesus. And making us new, we preach Christ crucified. Because we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. And no man can confess that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So you do not have Christ's church unless you have the preaching of the gospel. And there's not preaching without the Holy Spirit. The two go hand in hand. Thanks be to God, then, that Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, is here for you today. That the Spirit of the living God is being poured out upon you. That the word, as unspectacular and plain as it may seem to the eyes of unbelief, it is still preached and administered here. Christ gives himself in simple bread, in simple wine, to do his wonderful work, his mighty power, and give his mighty presence among you. Today, he forgives everything that you have ever done and everything that you are. Today, he works regeneration and renewal through your baptism, dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit displays himself by wonders and signs at Pentecost so many years ago. Still, he is with you today. You are his. You are his beloved child, marked with a cross on your forehead and on your heart. He has done his work in you. You are holy. You are precious. You are beloved. For Christ has made you that way. And your very life now points to Jesus. You are calling your friends and family, your co-workers, your classmates, your neighbors, to come and to drink from the waters of life, from Jesus who gives himself in word and sacrament for the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. And I will tell you this, the signs and wonders here, the words, the simple bread, the simple wine, the simple water, none of this appears any more poignant, any more spectacular than the winds of the North Dakota prairie as they blow on by. The flames are not there on people's heads. Any tongue that you hear is most likely English, and a North Dakota style English at that. But God is still powerful and working in those words and in those sacraments, making you holy, casting away your fears and your doubts. He has made you by water and word, washed you free from sin, from fear, from doubt. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. So no, it's not spectacular by human standards. No, there's nothing very impressive about the Spirit's work according to our dim eyes. But I ask you, does it really get any more impressive and spectacular than raising a sinner from death to life every single week? And the Holy Spirit's been doing that in Christ Church for over 2,000 years. That's why every Sunday is a little Easter. And every Sunday is a little Pentecost where death gives way to life and the Spirit of God is poured out in hidden in word and sacrament. Today, dear saints, is your Easter. Rise up, dear saints of Emmanuel. Rise from the dead. Today is your Pentecost. The Spirit of God is upon you. So rejoice exceedingly with great joy in the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. There is nothing missing from Christ's church. Jesus is here for you today. So come, come you who are thirsty and fraught with sin. Come to the waters of life and drink from him that he may become in you a spring of water welling up to eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.